Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
55 employers in the city now pay the living wage. To talk about that, it's Living Wage Week, after all, is Councillor Richard Johnson. It represents Abbey Ward for Labour, and also Helen Crowther, who is the Equality and Anti-Poverty Officer for Cambridge City Council. Welcome back to you both. Richard hasn't been here for very long at all. A couple of weeks away. Yes. And Helen, I haven't seen you for ages. So welcome.
It's great to be here, Julian. Back. Thanks for inviting us.
So how many living wages are there? Because we're hearing about one living wage and then another one for London, and then the one that the City Council is going to be paid. It's sort of hard to keep up.
Well, I'd certainly say, Julian, that the government's living wage isn't really a living wage, and understandably it's causing a lot of confusion amongst the public and businesses.
Because they actually changed the name of it, didn't they, not that long ago?
Well, there was, of course, it was the minimum wage, the national minimum wage, but it was rebranded and they put it up a few quid to make it, you know, sound a bit fancier, but it certainly doesn't address the core issues, which I think the real living wage is all about. The real living wage is all about addressing the cost of living for an ordinary person going about their daily business, whereas the government's living wage is about the median income, and I think it's around 55% of median income at the minute. So there's you know, when we talk about the living wage, we refer to the real living wage, and that's what is very important, and that's why we have the Living Wage Week to really shout about the value, the worth of paying a living wage.
Mm. And you've got 55 employers around Cambridge. Yes. Are they easily convinced that this is a good idea, because it's going to cost them more, which most employers don't really like?
Well, there was an interesting statistic that I've seen which suggested that since the government introduced this national living wage, the number of businesses who have been accredited and signed up to the real living wage has increased substantially. So in fact, it's incentivizing businesses to think again about what they pay their staff and how they go about, you know, rewarding their staff.
And Helen, does it help that the City Council is setting a good example here by increasing what it pays as its minimum to employees next year?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to go back to your previous point about persuading employers to sign up for the living wage, well, there are a number of business benefits to being living wage accredited. 93% of employers who have become living wage accredited across the UK have reported business benefits, such as improved reputation as an ethical employer, increased retention rates, productivity of staff is higher, lower sickness rates and things like that. So
lower sickness rates. So is this this is pretend sickness, isn't it? These are people who maybe feel more incentivized to turn up because they're getting a decent wage.
Well, yeah, exactly. Staff feel a lot more valued when they're getting a fair day's pay for a fair day's work.
Mm. Not that anybody in Cambridge would ever throw a sickie, of course. And of these 55, is there a particular type of business which decides to go for this?
Well, the Living Wage Foundation's research in the UK shows that it's actually smaller businesses that go for this, which is surprising, given that you'd think they would be less likely to be able to afford it. But I think it's because smaller businesses are a lot more embedded in communities, so they understand the actual consequences of becoming living wage accredited.
And smaller business in this case, presumably we mean the sort of the family type businesses rather than the big high street names who presumably have national responsibilities and all sorts of different issues.
That's right,
coming from that.
Lots of fingers in different pies, and I guess it's difficult for a larger corporation to sign up to the living wage because of their contractors. Part of the accreditation process is that everybody who signs up to the living wage has to have their contractors sign up as well and pay their the staff the living wage. So I guess there are more hurdles to overcome. But you know, Helen and her colleagues at the City Council have done a great job over the last few years in actually extolling the virtues of the living wage to businesses large and small, and to drive home the point that the accreditation process isn't as hard as they think it is.
So the larger business, something like Apple, for example, would they be inclined to pay?
Well, they may be paying the living wage to their directly employed staff, but we can't tell if they're paying it to their contracted staff, such as cleaners and caterers. And also, signing up to living wage accreditation is making a very public commitment that you feel that people should be paid fairly. Mm. So it's taking real leadership in that area. And some larger employers really have, like Arm, mm-hmm. Barclays, but a lot of the banks have. Mm. So that's really good.
Mm. I'm just wondering, on the point of Apple, they seem to be saving themselves quite a bit of money at the moment, although doing it very legally, as we should probably point out. But it seems a bit unfair, really. They're not, you know, we're not sure if they're what they're paying in terms of wages, and at the other other end, they're saving money on tax. They could use that to pay everybody.
Well, in an ideal world, Julian, everyone will be paid a fair day's wage for fair day's work, and. As you know, Apple have got a base in Cambridge, but I guess it's difficult. They would say that it's quite difficult because they've got so many different things to deal with before they actually go down the accreditation route. But that doesn't mean to say that they shouldn't consider the virtue and the benefit of becoming accredited. Mm. And as we mentioned, the accreditation process isn't as hard as it's assumed to be, you know, and the City Council have been working extremely hard over the last few years and getting businesses large and small signed up. As you mentioned at the outset, there's 55 businesses now, and I think at least half have been helped by us.
Well, what sort of support, Helen, can the council give to a business which wants to move towards? Because presumably it's a bit of a logistical exercise at times to get it. It's not just the will to do it, it's how you then organise it.
Yeah, well, we can take you through the licence document that businesses will need to fill out in order to become accredited and what different parts of that means for the business. The Living Wage Foundation themselves can work with businesses to ensure that there's a plan in place for contracted staff members. So in order to become accredited, you need your directly employed staff to be paid £8.75 an hour, and you need to commit to move towards your contracted staff to be paid that. And the Living Wage Foundation can come up with a plan for you in order
to. So that makes it, if you like, a little bit easier, not necessarily doing it all in one go. You're still being fair about it, but you're by doing it effectively, by the sounds of things, in two batches, two stages, then you can get one set of workers organised with a commitment to then. I don't know, you presumably there's some sort of period of time you'd expect people to do it, but within a reasonable time you can then move on to stage two, as it were.
It could be when contracts are renewed, so you put that in as a clause when your contracts are renewed.
Okay, so gradually everybody moves around.
That's what Anglia Ruskin University, for instance, are doing with their cleaning contract, as it's renewed in a few years' time. Mm. If you'd like more advice on it, you can contact me at livingwage@cambridge.gov.uk as well, and I can guide you through.
And presumably this is something which extends way beyond this week to the full 52 weeks of the year. Did you find you get more people at least committing to sign up as a result of the Living Wage Week?
Yeah, absolutely, because there's a lot more publicity around the living wage. There's more publicity for the employers who are accredited as well.
Mm. I think most employers, they are aware of it. I know it seems strange to see, but it's amazing that some you know, things, which, I don't know, I didn't mention the road closures thing again or the access control points, but that was something people seemingly were oblivious
it's
to.
It's certainly now impregnated in people's consciousness, the whole value of the living wage and what it represents. Over the last couple of years, you know, everyone, it's very simple. It's a very simple concept. And I think a lot of employers do want to go down the accreditation route, but they just don't know how. So part of what Living Wage a Week is all about is to, you know, incentivize businesses and community organizations and just to think about how realistic it is for them to go down the route. And if they do want to go down the route of becoming accredited, then, as Helen says, we can help. We can help you go through that process.
Can we mentioned the 55. Can we put that in percentage terms of the percentage of Cambridge employers who are doing that? Or is that a stat too far?
A stat too far, Julian, I'm afraid. We can get back to you on that if you like.
I think I might make a note just in case.
But of course, you know, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. And whilst we're incredibly pleased that we have 55 businesses that is signed up, there's more, I think, that can and ought to sign up. the University of Cambridge, for example. We need to, there's a lot of work that's going on with students.
So the Anglo-Ruskin University is committed, the other one, the University of Cambridge, they're still to commit.
I think that's the case, and certainly...
Have they given you a reason as to why not?
I don't know what the exact reason they have given us, but certainly I know that if they get all their ducks in a row, so to speak, they would consider paying it. It's just about creating improving awareness and, mm-hmm. and making university.
I guess it applies to everybody, really, to try and make sure that they get themselves organised on this. Well, look, thank you both for coming in. Helen, I'll give you a reminder of that email again for people who do want to sign up.
So it's livingwage@cambridge.gov.uk.
Thank you both very much. Helen Crowther, also Councillor Richard Johnson. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.